You know, sometimes what I've found is the best form of communication is not words that are texted to me, emailed to me, even written on a piece of paper, like by notes. Those are nice, but it's words spoken face to face. And we look at this last part of the second letter of John, and he's got many things to write to this woman. And so we see here, he says in verse 12, he says, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink." And so there's a point here, and God wants this woman to get what's now in print here. The main point was your love and your hospitality must always be rooted in truth. What God wanted to communicate to this woman was, if you are not careful who you associate with, you could lose your present level and status. You can lose what is you've accomplished through the power of Christ. And you're actually going to participate in evil by doing it. And so in his mind, John has many things that need to be communicated. God has given us what he wants us to know in his word, but that doesn't mean other things were not stated or taught to individuals privately and personally. And God is the one who determined when it was the time to stop writing. The verb here says, "I do not want," or "I would not." It's aorist passive. And what that means is there was a point in time when John was led to stop writing. The passive verb indicates John was not the originating source of the action. He was the recipient of the action. So he wrote with paper and ink. The Greek word for paper is kartu, and that refers to a sheet of paper made of papyrus strips. The word for ink is melanos, which literally means black. Ink was made of a black carbon and soot mixed with gum and some water. And so we see here that John wants to communicate with this woman face to face. Look at this. "Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face." So back in John's day, writing was a primary source of communication, but there was still nothing like face to face communication. And you'll notice this as you see people out. It amazes me when people are even are out on a date and their heads are in their phones. And it's just sad. I do like the fact that there's a conversation going on sometimes, and I'm there with my wife, and if there's something that I want her to be the only one that knows, I can text that to her even while she's in the room, and so she knows what's going on. The funny thing is, it's kind of the point where my wife and I can even look at each other now and know what each other is thinking. And so there's something to seeing somebody face to face. So I want you to carefully notice why John, going back to this story here, wanted to go to this woman's house and visit her face to face so that he could have full joy. It says, "So that our joy may be complete." John found that his greatest joy and fellowship with those who walked was with those who walked in the truth. You're going to lack joy until you love truth and love to fellowship with others face to face who love truth. Fellowship must always be based on truth. Look at this last verse in the book of the letter of 2 John. "The children of your elect sister greet you." So John closes the letter by telling this woman that children of her elect sister greet her. The word "greet" is different from verse 10. This word means to welcome and salute. John is informing this woman that the children of her sister honored her, their nieces and nephews. This was obviously a Christian family. This final greeting from these relatives would do three things. It would let the Alexis lady know her sister's children were in total agreement with John. Her own sister's children knew that she needed to get away from those who were false. It would, secondly, let the elect lady know she had responsibility to others. Her decisions affected more than just her. And thirdly, it would let the elect lady know that she was esteemed. Second John is this little book, but it's powerful. It's practical in so many ways. It's saying we must know the truth. It's saying we must always love in context of the truth. It's saying we must identify false teachers who do not teach the truth. It's saying we must separate ourselves from false teachers. It's also saying we must carefully study the written word, and Lastly, it's saying we must fellowship face to face.